Ingredients Daily Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and wine spirits. Open 7 days a week from early morning to late lunch. Dinner was provided by Nel Centro, located in the Theater and Arts District at 1408 Southwest 6th Avenue. Nel Centro serves food from the French and Italian Riviera with a spacious year-round patio and private dining and meeting rooms. More information is available at nelcentro.com. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm/give right now.
KBOO proudly co-sponsors the Portland Folk Music Society concert series, this month featuring soul, rhythm and blues, and folk singer Chris Webster. Webster draws from many genres, sometimes backing her songs on uke or even washboard, with Nina Gerber on guitars. Gerber honed her skills accompanying folk singer Kate Wolfe. She has accompanied and recorded with Carla Bonoff, Peter Rowan, Nancy Griffith, Greg Brown, and many others. The Portland Folk Music Society concert is April 19th, 7:30 p.m., at the Reedwood Friends Church on Southeast Steele Street in Portland. For more information, go to the website, kboo.fm, and click on Community Events.
Blackbird. You're listening to KBOO Portland. It's 601.
Timothy Leary lives. No, he's outside looking in. Timothy Leary lives. No.
Produced at the studios of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon, this is Free Culture Radio. I'm Doug McVeigh. Free Culture Radio is an examination of drugs, drug cultures, and the ineluctable, indelible, and indispensable influence of drugs on society. Free Culture Radio neither promotes the use of any drugs, nor condemns people for being involved in drugs. To the extent that drug use presents problems for individuals or society, those problems are made worse and more intractable when people who use drugs are treated as others and ignored, stigmatized, and even brutalized. This edition of Free Culture Radio is all about medical cannabis.
We should do more psychedelics.
And psychedelic drugs. This is also a pledge drive special. I want you to pick up your phone and call 877-500-5266. If you are listening online, then open a browser window and go to kboo.fm/donate. In either case, do that, make your pledge. Support community radio. Support your favorite programming. Support free culture. And make that donation. Be a part of the community. That number again, 877-500-5266. Volunteers are waiting for your call. Now, on with the show. My good friend Rick Doblin, PhD, is the founder and executive director of MAPS, the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies. I was at a conference recently where he spoke, and I caught up with him for an interview. So on this edition of Free Culture Radio, we're going to hear some of that.
I want to talk to you about the psychedelic bits for a minute, because I want to know what you think about, you have watched the evolution of drug policy since the Reagan era.
Since before, since Nixon.
Well, oh, that's right, you're, never
I'm
mind.
I'm a little bit older than you, yes.
Technically a few years older than me, even though you look younger, and I'm still quite jealous. But, you've been watching.
You should do more psychedelics.
My doctor told me it's okay.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
You've watched this evolution. You've watched the evolution of the drug policy. Watched the evolution, not just the drug policy, but also the reform movement.
Yeah.
And it went from marijuana is cool, but we only want to say decrim, all the way to legalize all this stuff. And how has the marijuana movement influenced the psychedelic movement and vice versa?
Well, I think the marijuana movement has really proved this concept that medicalization leads to legalization, that medicalization is the way to change people's attitudes, because there's so much misinformation, so much government propaganda. How do you reach people? And the key that we've learned from medical marijuana is it's through people knowing medical marijuana patients, seeing dispensaries not covered with machine guns and violence, seeing the alternatives. Rob Campia one time said something very interesting to me, which was that he thought if you compare marijuana, medical marijuana states versus marijuana decrim, what leads more towards changing people's attitudes towards legalization is medical marijuana, not marijuana decrim. Although decrim is about changing law for that. So because people can see examples. So I think one of the things we've learned from the marijuana is that the movement also is that you need to be super careful not to overestimate your success. So I'm going back to the 70s where people thought, oh, it's going to be legal in a few years. And you get way overconfident and you get then taken by surprise. And so I think we need to really reach out. So now we're trying to think about the main group that we've not reached out to. It's fundamentalist Christians. In terms of, we've got the Republicans because we're so much with the veterans for MDMA, for PTSD. But how do we reach fundamentalist Christians and try to help them not be resistant to this? We there's no answer to that. We haven't figured it out. But that's, I think, one thing. You learn from marijuana is you get overconfident, you get taken by surprise. I think the other thing that we've learned is that state by state and patience makes a lot of sense. One thing that I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for is state or local initiatives on medical psilocybin or medical mushrooms. And the reason why is that we have the open door towards the FDA to make the medicines. I think the kind of initiative that makes more sense to me is decrim rather than medical. Because what we've been saying for decades and decades is that the research has been blocked by the politics and let's just do the science. And that's what we've been saying for marijuana. That's what we've been saying for psychedelics. So now that the climate is changing, for people to say, oh, forget the research, we're going to do it through the politics to do medicine, it doesn't feel right to me. But what does feel right is just say, let's decrim. And what I've learned from the Drug Policy Alliance and others is that there's more support for decrim in general for all drugs than when you say decrim for psilocybin. Once you make specific drugs, you know people have their fears, their concerns. So I think that the initiatives that are moving forward for psilocybin decrim would be better off as overall all drug decrim, and they'd be more likely to pass.
I'm interested in what you might think about the possibility that decrim.
I'm not against these things.
Okay.
I just think they're not. I wouldn't vote against them, but I don't want to be involved in promoting them. The other thing I'll just say is that a lot of the researchers who are working with psilocybin are very frightened by these, and I think overly frightened. So I've been struggling for a decade with the psilocybin researchers who tell me that I'm hurting them because I talk about how we need to move beyond prohibition. And they think I should just talk about medical MDMA, medical psychedelics, don't talk about broad cultural change, don't talk about anything to do with, you know, ending prohibition. So because out of respect for these people's fears, because they're doing the work in psilocybin and MAPS is not really, I don't want to mess things up in their eyes, even though I think it's actually helping them. So it's kind of a difficult position I'm in.
Okay, medicalization leading to legalization,
yeah,
but decrim not leading to legalization.
No,
but
yeah, not as much.
Not as much.
Yeah.
But you think possibly the decrim of psilocybin might lead to a medicalization? Am I getting that wrong?
Okay. No. I think the medicalization really should be done through the FDA. That's just my feeling because they're open to it.
Yeah.
And there's two companies that are trying to do it now. One profit, one not-for-profit, trying to move psilocybin through the FDA. So I just feel like medicalization should be done. And well, if you decrim, you get people able to use it for medicine anyway. And if you do more all drug decrim, you're more likely to get psilocybin decrim than if you say we want psilocybin decrimed.
Do you think it's possible? Do you think marijuana decrim may have helped to ease the path for medicalization?
I think it certainly doesn't hurt. Yeah. No. But I think that a lot of the decrim stuff, you know, there was like Ann Arbor, there was a certain kind of decrim, but I think that the medicalization is what's really been motivating people to even further decrim and legalize.
Right on, yeah, because seeing people, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to get to the Mutual Benefit Corporation you're talking about for drug development, because I hate greed, and I'm not really fond of the money-making corporate model that seems to be coming in. And so the I don't know how any of the corporate money people talking about investments reacted to your notion of a mutual benefit corporation, and I don't give a flying. The question is, could you unpack that idea for folks?
Well, if you look at capitalism, it's about profit and unlimited growth, and you know, and forget about the externalities. So not every company is like that at all, but in general, we're destroying the planet, and it's, I think people are short-sighted on their narrow interests and not paying attention to the other. So the Benefit Corp is a modification of capitalism where you maximize public benefit, meaning you take care of you account for the externalities. You don't ignore them. And I think that's what we need. That's the problem with capitalism, is you offload the externalities on other people and you just make your profit and you don't care. And so I think that the idea of the Benefit Corp is the antidote to capitalism. But it is capitalism. It's the evolution of capitalism. Maybe it's a better way to say it. It's the evolution of capitalism, not the antidote to capitalism.
Interesting.
You're listening to Free Culture Radio. I'm Doug McVeigh, and we're talking about psychedelics and medical cannabis with Rick Doblin, PhD, founder and executive director of the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies, or MAPS. We'll be back with more in just a moment. It's a pledge drive, so we're asking folks to become part of the community by becoming members of KBOO. Call 877-500-5266 right now and make your pledge. Volunteers are standing by to take your call. Now let's get over to Pledge Central.
Listen to that guy, Doug. He knows what he's talking about. Call 877-500-5266. Good evening. You're listening to KBOO's Spring Membership Drive. I am Yorick Jones, also known as Seth. I'm joined here by the lovely Cassiani. Did I say it right that time?
Yeah, very good.
Cassie. Yes. And this is independent radio. What you're listening to now is not what you're going to hear on other radio stations. This is what's called independent civilian community journalism, the real stuff. You're going to hear real stories and the real truth behind the stories from those people and experts, not talking heads and people paid to have opinions to try to sway you. We just tell you what it is, and you can sway yourself using what we used to call facts. Give us a call, 877-500-5266, or go online, kboo.fm, and click on the donate button. You going to add something, Cassiani?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you know, I've often thought that if I had a job in which I made more money than I and maybe my family, or actually in my case it's just me, that I would choose to give each month to a worthy cause to sustain my community in a major way. And I know that there are people out there for whom this is possible. Live within the means and make that makes sense to you. And then take that extra and provide a tax-deductible, sustainable monthly contribution. All you have to do is call 877-500-5266.
Or go online, kboo.fm. The theme this spring is Smash Fascism and Restore Humanity, which is the exact opposite of what's going on in the federal government. Right now, their slogan seems to be Smash Humanity and Restore Fascism. We are the frontline fight against that, and we make it easy. This is community radio. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. This is freedom. That nothing symbolizes freedom more than community radio. Nothing in this country right now. We are not beholden to corporate dollars, sponsorship. We don't have to say what somebody behind the curtains is telling us to say. We go out and discover stuff for ourselves. And if you are listening to this, you listen to KBOO, you're a regular listener, you know what's going on, you know the deal. Keep us going, keep us on the airwaves. 877-500-5266. Go online, kboo.fm. Click on the donate button. We're in our 51st year. We're doing something right. 51 years.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, it looks like a generous, anonymous KBOO member has offered to match the next $250 in donations. Ooh, to KBOO.
Yes.
Yay.
We got another anonymous donor. I like to thank all those anonymous donors.
Absolutely.
So that means if you call right now, say you wanted a KBOO black beanie so you can keep warm in the winter and be fashionable and show your support, that is $5 a month. That's all it is, but your $5 a month will become $10. We'll double it. So now's the great time to call, pick up your gift, show your support for KBOO, and double your money. 877-500-5266. Why do you listen to KBOO? Why are you here?
Well, I'm here because when I first moved here from St. Louis, I knew it was a great way to get connected with the community. And so it's family, and it's a wonderful...
But a bar is a great way to get in touch with the community as well. Why KBOO? What's the difference between KBOO and some community bar?
Besides
the no hangover when you leave here.
I guess just the, well, diversity. I guess I find diversity in the bar too. I don't know. Mostly just the diversity and just
exchange of ideas. And,
yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And we're on the air.
Yeah.
I don't think you'd want to hear bar talk on the air. Some people
definitely
would.
Not.
It might be interesting. But this is KBOO. Give us a call. Support community local news. Support independent journalism, independent community radio. You are the you in community. 877-500-5266. Or go online, kboo.fm. You hear us three times a year. You don't hear commercials. We don't play commercials on KBOO. If you like listening to radio that doesn't have commercials, 877-500-5266 or go online
to kboo.fm
and click donate.
That big maroon button in the right hand corner of your screen.
Is it still maroon?
Yeah.
I know they change it. So this is so important. This is important. If you're listening, it's important to you. You're already a KBOOer. You're already a member of us. Maybe you haven't join yet, and we will take any donation. $1 becomes $2 for the next hour. 877-500-5266.
Yeah, give us a call. 877-500-5266.
We're back. Rick Doblin, PhD, is the founder and executive director of MAPS, the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies. We ran into each other at a conference recently where he was the featured speaker for their opening reception. Let's listen to some of that audio.
What I want to share with you is a bit of the history of how research has been obstructed with marijuana to try to make it into a medicine or to do anything else, and where that's at in terms of, so right now when we look at what kind of obstructions there are to research with Schedule I drugs, the only obstruction that's still existing is with cannabis research. We have an open door at the FDA to do the research. We've had, surprisingly, an open door at the DEA. We have a senior DEA official who has retired, who his son went into the military and got PTSD and uses cannabis for PTSD. So he is our consultant. And when we went to the DEA, December of 2017, to talk about expanded access, which means a lot more licenses, we had, you can only go in the DEA headquarters with an escort. You can't go by yourself. They always have an escort. So we had a meeting with the people that give the licenses for Schedule I research, and we met this escort, and it was going to be in the other building, but the courtyard above was being renovated. So she said, we're going to have to go through the underground parking lot to get to this other building. And I said, that's fine. We have a lot of experience in the underground. And then we get to the building, and we're going up the elevator to the fourth floor. And for some reason, the elevator doors open up on the second floor. Nobody pressed it. Nobody got in. Nobody got out. The elevator's doors close, and then we go up to the fourth floor. And our DEA consultant whispers to me, he said, that's the floor that the courtroom is on. So the last time I was in that building was in 2005 when we were suing the DEA to try to get a license to grow marijuana. And so it felt like here it was, a window onto a time of past conflict with the DEA. And then it was just a little, nobody else noticed it, but the few of us, the doors closed. Then we went up to this meeting and we were talking with the DEA about how when we want to do expanded access, there could be hundreds of therapists that are going to need Schedule I licenses, and they're prepared for it. The meeting went really well. The only part of the meeting that fell flat a little bit was where I said, we just would like you to know that if there's any police officers from the DEA who have PTSD, we would like to welcome them into our studies. And so they didn't volunteer anybody. but at least they know that we're trying to do this reform for them. So the situation now, which probably you all know, but I'll briefly mention it and then bring you up to date, is that there's a monopoly, a 50-year monopoly that the National Institute of Drug Abuse has held on the production of marijuana for federally regulated research at the FDA. And that marijuana comes from NIDA, it comes from the University of Mississippi, Professor El Soli. It's not very good quality. But more importantly than the quality is that it's only for academic research. It cannot be used as commercial sales. So when you do research with the FDA and you want to make a drug into a medicine, there's preclinical research in animals, then there's the, say, phase one studies where you're just trying to figure out, mostly in healthy normals, what the drug does, how does it work. Phase two are the pilot studies where you're starting to refine your treatment methods and your doses. And then phase three are the final studies that are the large-scale, multi-site, randomized, placebo-controlled studies to try to prove safety and efficacy to make it into a medicine. And the FDA requires you to use the exact same drug that you want to market. And so since NIDA marijuana cannot be marketed, there's no way to do phase three studies with cannabis right now in the United States. And what I've been hoping for is that the Canadians who are growing, the Israelis who are growing, who recently got permission to export, that one of those foreign companies would end up being willing to open up a drug master file at the FDA for their marijuana and then let us import it, and then we could break the monopoly that way. But none of them have been willing to do it. And I think one of the reasons that they're willing, not willing to do it is that the FDA does have high standards for what a controlled, standardized product would be. But also, a lot of these different companies are starting to think about making patented medicines out of cannabis with extracts, with different delivery systems that may be very good for certain specialized indications. But for a lot of those indications, it would be a whole lot cheaper for people to smoke flower, either vape or smoke. So we've been unable to import, at least so far, and NIDA is not possible. So that's the main way that cannabis has been blocked federally from becoming a medicine in the plant form. We do have Marinol, you know, Sativex, we've got Epidiolex, but these are all extracts and patented systems. So as a nonprofit organization, as a nonprofit pharmaceutical company, our goal is what's in the best public interest. And the best in the public interest is to get the buds very inexpensive as a medicine. And I'm not sure exactly your cost structures. Maybe you could share a bit later what your cost structures are. But the Israelis are able to grow for about 50 cents a gram for high-potency trim buds. So you can get an ounce of pot at their cost for, you know, $16 or $15, something like that. And then you mark it up a couple times for retail and all of that. But it will be an extremely inexpensive. And it will eventually go generic as well. So that's our goal, is to try to do that. And so I'm so glad to see Sue Sisley is here. So I'll just say that for all of you who are old timers who remember Brownie Mary, so I tried for a long time to find researchers that were interested in doing cannabis research. And this is starting around 1990. I couldn't find anybody. Because in 1990, the FDA, the people that regulate psychedelics at the FDA, or Schedule I drugs in general, who'd been blocking all research, it shifted to a new group at the FDA. And they were willing to open the door to psychedelics and to marijuana research. But they needed people to submit applications. And nobody was doing that. So I was trying to find somebody who could do that, and nobody was willing to do it. And then Brownie Mary, who was giving marijuana brownies to AIDS patients at San Francisco General, she ended up getting arrested. She was at her dealer's house. The dealer gave her all sorts of shake and things that she could make into brownies. He got busted. She happened to be there. It was national news. And so I ended up calling all the sorts of people at the San Francisco General, and I ended up with Donald Abrams. And he was the first one after several years of trying that he said, yes, he was willing to do it. I said, you owe it to Browning Mary. And so we ended up getting approval for a study. We got FDA approval. We got IRB approval. NIDA refused to provide us with the marijuana. Then what happened is in 1996, California and Arizona were the first medical marijuana states that had for dispensaries. And then NIDA was aware that their blocking research was being used as a reason to pass state-level reform. And so they approached Donald and they said, if you switch your study from looking at the benefits to looking at the risks, we'll not only give you the marijuana, but we'll pay for the study. And so we talked about it, and we said, yeah, let's do it. Any way we can start at all, we'll start. And so the primary outcome measures was about drug-drug interactions between protease inhibitors and cannabis. But the secondary measures were looking at weight gain and caloric intake, nausea, things like that. So we did sort of back into this study of getting some information about the benefits. Then what happened was I worked with Ethan Russo, and we got a project that was marijuana for migraines. This is in the late 90s. Again, the same story. FDA says yes, and the IRB say yes, and NIDA refuses to give us the marijuana. That was really frustrating. And then I realized that what we really need to do is break the NIDA monopoly. So I spent about a year trying to find, it's also good we're here at a courtroom, the Rosa Parks of medical marijuana. And that turned out to be Professor Lyle Craker at UMass Amherst. And so he was someone who had worked on classified research for the Army on defoliants for cocaine plants, coca plants. He was an expert in plant medicines. He didn't smoke marijuana. He had a senior tenured professor, and he was a compassionate man. And so he agreed that he would work with us to try to get a license.
You're listening to Free Culture Radio. I'm Doug McVeigh, and we're talking about psychedelics and medical cannabis with Rick Doblin, PhD. Rick is the founder and executive director of MAPS, the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies. We'll be back with more in just a moment. It's a pledge drive, so we're asking folks to become part of the community by becoming members of KBOO. Call 877-500-5266 right now and make your pledge. Volunteers are standing by to take your call. Now, let's get over to Pledge Central.
Good evening. You are listening to KBOO, and it's our spring membership drive. KBOO is funded by you, our listeners, and we are asking you to go to the phone right now and dial 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm and become a member. I'm Cassiani, and I'm a volunteer here, and joining me is Yorick.
Yes, I am Ick. I'm Ick. You're Ick. I'm Ick.
We're all Ick.
So we're here, like Cassiani just said, we're here at KBOO. This is our spring, our vernal equinox membership drive. New year, new life, rebirth. That's what we are. Rebirth. We need your help because we definitely need a rebirth in this country right now.
Absolutely.
877-500-5266 or go online, kboo.fm, click on the donate now. But if you call us, we have a match for the rest of the hour, $250, dollar for dollar match. Give us a call, stretch your dollar. Just imagine you go to a store and you spend a dollar and you get $2 worth of something. That's what this is. You're getting $2 worth of KBOO support for $1. Help us smash fascism and restore humanity. Keep free independent radio free and independent. What should they do if they want to do that?
Yes, give us a call, 877-500-5266 or visit online at kboo.fm.
Visit us online. Visit us. Even if you visit someone online, neither of you are really there. You ever think about that?
That is very true.
If two people are on someone's website, you're not there. That's the
interesting.
That's the future world we live in right now. So anyway, this is local, independent. You like this show? This is Doug. Doug is an independent journalist. He's talking to a PhD, a doctor, about psychedelics and marijuana. Not two-year journalist degree people who would just have opinions about things they might have read a meme about online and they have an opinion. This is an expert. That's what we used to do here. We used to interview experts to learn things, not talking heads to argue about things. Let's bring back old-fashioned, truth-based, fact-filled radio.
Let's do
877-500-5266.
Yeah, and actually we also have a pair of tickets to, it's Reggae World, it's Ziggy Marley and Michael Franti. And that's for $150 minimum donation. Please give us a call. Donate 877-500-5266.
When is that?
I guess that would help.
Help us in facts. Tell us some details.
Thursday. I know. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, woo, Ziggy Marley. Yeah. Nice and peaceful. Thursday, June 27th, 6:30 at the Lush Schwab Amphitheater. Yes.
Oh, okay.
All ages. And we were just talking about the Lush Schwab Amphitheater. And you're going to. I guess does exist.
You're going to pay money to go anyway. You're going to pay money to drive there. So this way you can pay the money, get the tickets, and support Cable. And how much was that? What's that?
$150.
Which you can split up by the month, by the way. You don't have to pay us all at once. So $150 a month, that's $13 a month. You'll get the tickets, and you'll support Cable, and it will double up to $250. So now is the time to call to double your pledge. Get some great tickets or get the beanie. You know, we do
don't
have Cable stuff.
Beanie.
If you don't want to go to Les Schwab, if you're not a reggae fan, give us a call. We have something to fit every lifestyle and every size. 877-500-5266. Give us a call now and double your donation.
Yeah, because where else do you get independent news? Right here.
Right
on
here.
KBO.
And local. Local news. We are independent civilian journalism. Support. This is what you're listening to. This is what KBOO does. This is why we're different than every other station on the dial.
Yeah, and also supporting local music around town, too. So
it's local.
Music
a lot
that
of
you'll
local.
Find, yeah,
and
that you won't
local,
hear otherwise unless you
and local businesses
tune in.
Support us. We get the food delivered. You know, we get people donate to us. This is community.
Yes.
That's what this is. So help us build community and stay on the air. 51 years of doing this.
Amazing.
I don't feel a day over one.
And we're here because of you. You are listeners.
We're here for you. You're here for us. We're here for each other.
Yes.
That's what
one big group hug. Here we go.
877-500-5266. Keep our independent music shows on the air. You listen at night. You know we do some great music shows, weekends, news, community-minded programming that can change in a heartbeat depending on who's here in the community. The music DJs play the music they want to play. We have no playlist. We have no corporate sponsorship. We're not beholden to anybody but the listeners. We're beholden to you. Give us a call. Join this community. 877-